It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MVW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in this lovely, lovely Tuesday morning. Blue Sky Live here with you this morning. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. Corey Clark joining us in a second, or a second. Discuss Clark Ford and what's going on in the wonderful metropolis of Amory, Mississippi. We're brought to you by Blue Sky every single day. We will discuss some college football revenue sharing, because by God, we love doing that. So we'll hit the latest in that conversation. A couple obvious but interesting things from a college football playoff standpoint. Basketball portal still running rampant. Got some meteorite stuff going on. So a little business of college athletics, but I'll try not to bore you with that over the course of the next hour and change however long we're with you today. Again, with you every day because of blue skies throughout Mississippi. Those are up and down I-55 throughout North Mississippi as well. They got the epicenter there in Macomb. You can get lunch specials, $5.69, couple sides of bread, any size fountain drink of your choice. Got some cool merch coming soon. We got a picture of that yesterday there with Blue Sky.
That's nice.
So we'll let you know about that the next time that we can do that as well. So again, wherever you are, there's a Blue Sky nearby, Sweet Daddy's locations. You know, you get pulled pork, ribs, side items, desserts, and much more there with those guys. So again, Blue Sky, Oxford, and elsewhere, and coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio and the Campbell Clinic Hotline.
That's right. We'll talk to Corey in a minute about what's going on at Clark Ford. Guest, join on the Campbell Clinic Hotline. The Campbell Clinic is in Oxford now, 2608 South Lamar Boulevard, Suite 102. Just across the street from the cottages at Hooper Hollow, the Campbell Clinic provides full-service orthopedic care. Everything from sports medicine to foot and ankle surgery to spine, total joint care, pediatric orthopedics, physical therapy, and more. To book an appointment, go to CampbellClinicOxford.com. Or calls 901-759-3111. Walk-ins always welcome at the Campbell Clinic, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. until 4 p.m.
Yeah, Neil pulling out a little Thunder gear after the 4-0 sweep yesterday.
Thunder up.
Putting the brooms out on Twitter, just trash-talking like a mofo. I mean, just letting all the pels have it on the Twitter
machine. Youngest team in NBA history to win a playoff series.
Is that true?
Yep.
How is that added up? Is that like is that starter's average age, roster average age? Like what is determining that factor?
I think it's the average age of the roster.
The entire roster?
Yeah. Okay. Of the Thunder players that actually play.
No. What do they have that's older? Hayward?
Yeah. Of the guys who actually play, there's no one older than 25.
Oh, wow.
Just.
Like, that's kind of incredible.
Oh, dude. I've been, listen.
We'll get to it in a minute. We'll talk after the score, but you're getting your situation changing a little. We'll say later.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Fun. Carson and I had this conversation this morning. As a matter of fact, so I'm already ready for this one. Corey, how are you?
Oh, what's up, guys? How are y'all?
Oh, we're just talking about doing what Chase loves to do. He loves to talk NBA throughout the show. People work.
I love talking fan perception and how that can change based off results. That's what cracks me up, and that's where we're headed in a minute with this.
Yeah.
What's the Thunder situation?
They just swept.
They're just beating the hell out of everybody, Corey. They are going to win the NBA title. They're going to sweep the Nuggets later. They're going to sweep the Celtics or whoever makes it.
You know, the Ringer did a story yesterday, not to get derailed here. What it said was, metrically, the Nuggets are in trouble. That both the Thunder and the Timberwolves, if you go back through teams that have made the NBA Finals, both the Nuggets and the Timberwolves and the Thunder have better metrics in that regard. Vegas is not bought in yet. Right now, you could get better odds on the Thunder and the Timberwolves combined than you can.
Well, because the Nuggets, they don't have a metric, but they have Jokic. And
they do.
Yeah.
They're playing close games.
They are.
trailing, their minutes trailing is really high, high percentage of minutes trailing in the playoffs. Usually teams that win the title, they trailed less than 20% of minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the Nuggets have been trailing more than 75% of minutes.
Really?
It's interesting. Hey, Corey, curious, we haven't talked about it because it's just April, but you and I are both Cubs fans. Are you?
I'm not there yet. I'm kind of more in the checking the standings every day, you know, my phone updates, and I'm like, hey, we want to get, you know what I mean? And then get through May into June, and I'll start really dialing in if it's still looking like that there could be a run in them.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I'm going to see them in June. Going to see them against the Cardinals one day. But I'm not there yet. They have persevered through some injuries pretty well. I'll give them that. Bellinger and Seiya Suzuki and Justin Steele. He'll be back soon. But I like Craig Counsell and all that stuff. I'm just kind of. Say it again.
Yeah,
I lost you there.
I said, I text you when Steele went down. That was ugly. Can y'all hear me?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. I've got bars. I just didn't know if our connection was good or not.
Yeah.
I'm a little out of it. Got back from the coast. Just catching up with work.
All right. So speaking of what's you're finishing out a month. You talked about that a little bit last month. What's I keep hearing that inventory is increasing throughout, like dealerships and such.
I wanted to say that was me. I was listening to the show that you and Siski did. Vibin called in. That was me that asked about the Cougar. That was me. I called in right after him, and so cheers to my man Vibin. Sounds like he did good on that. But that was me that called in. He called and asked that question the other day. I don't know if you remember that or not. I know Siski doesn't remember.
Yeah. I don't think Tyler remembers the show. I don't remember a whole lot of the show, if I'm honest. It was 5.5 hours, Corey. It was a long time.
I'm not even through with it, but it was good to listen to because I didn't know anything about the draft because I was probably at the Floribama when the draft was going on. I didn't know who got picked first, second, third. I was kind of live listening to it as y'all were going. It's the last day of the month. You know, people say, you know, don't threaten me with a good time. Well, nobody better threaten me with an offer that's anywhere near, you know, us putting something together in the next couple of days because we got to move some stuff. And so if you're hunting something, give us a call. And we will put it in your driveway and turn into a lifelong customer, hopefully.
662-257-1900. They will indeed do that. Service is excellent. We've done it many. I've made, I think, 4 or 5 purchases now from Clark Ford. Services are incredible, and they take great care of you. Like I always say, Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. He'll truly prove to you what that means when you call.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
All right, Corey. Thanks.
Thanks, bud. Corey Clark, 662-257-1900. Again, Amory, Mississippi, Highway 25 South, if you just want to stop on in. One thing, again, that's more fan psychology is where I'm going with my question. Before you do that, I saw this morning. I think everybody found this interesting. This Jamal Murray tweet. Did you see this morning?
I did not.
Nick Wright tweeted it, talking head, radio guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Tucker retweeted it. It's how I saw it.
Okay.
Jamal Murray, Nuggets guard for anybody who's ill aware here.
Yep.
Jamal, and I think this speaks to just the media consumption of the star players plus the depth in the league to this.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Murray is one of the most unique players in NBA history. 0 all-star appearances, 0 all-NBA teams, no regular season accolades whatsoever, none.
Mm-hmm.
Yet only MJ, Wilt, and AI have more 50-point playoff games. He's got one iconic playoff run under his belt, 2 other good ones, and now this year with a true walk-off buzzer beater, and another buzzer beater and 32 points on one leg, including last night hitting that game winner to beat the Lakers to clinch the series 4-1 there for the Nuggets. And again, we talk about Jokic and all the reasons and he's all that stuff, but that is still still in the infancy of their window, so they're not dead by any means.
Oh, no.
That is a hell of a stat. 3 players ever with more 50-point playoff games than Jamal Murray.
Wow. He's a terrific player. He's one of the more underrated players in the league. He can defend. This year he's been limited because of the calf injury that continues to pop up. He made two basically buzzer beaters in the Lakers series. It was a really close series.
It was.
I mean, that it will go down in history as five games, and now we're going to do the Lakers thing of, oh, it's Darvin Ham's fault, and what do we do about LeBron? We're going to do the whole Lakers story because Lakers are one of the franchises.
They've offered LeBron a three-year deal and a guarantee to pick his kid.
3-year max deal.
Yeah. They would run him through his 42 age season. And sacrificing a draft pick to a kid not ready that's unfair to the kid.
Yeah, that part. I hate that part for him. But, he's grown up being LeBron James's kid.
He's going to be fine no matter what. But for his basketball career, it's not a good
thing. No, he needs to go to the G League for a year.
At least.
Or go play college another year.
Because he's not anywhere near ready.
No, he's not. Look, LeBron didn't really show any signs of slowing down.
No.
I mean, you know, we do this thing. We did it with Tom Brady. We do this thing where, okay, well, you're 40. That's it. You're dead. I mean, nutrition has changed. LeBron is in remarkable shape.
He is. Recovery has changed.
Yes. I mean, he's very disciplined. He has an incredible work ethic. He takes great care of his body. There's no sign that the end is like right around the corner. Now, is he one of the top 10 players in the game anymore? He's not. He's still an elite player. And he's very, very good. But the Lakers, if they just run this back.
He can't carry you
anymore. The results are going to be the same if you run it back. The West is only going to – Memphis is going to be better, a lot better next year.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, we do this about Zion, for example. The Pelicans got eliminated last night. And everyone does the Cancun stuff and all that. The Pelicans have some issues. They got to figure it out. But in fairness to Zion Williamson, he played 70 games. He's got hurt in the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Justin Steele did his hamstring, and he's missed a month. Nobody calls him soft. It was a hamstring injury. And Zion had lost weight. He looked better. He's got to do it again. He can't keep ballooning back and forth. But I don't know if you're the Lakers. LeBron is such a draw. Still to this day, LeBron, Steph are the big draws in the league. But my God, some of the players are so good right
now. And I'm really curious about ratings from that standpoint of those guys are out now.
Yeah.
Nobody's carrying the playoffs in that way. A lot of the names that you know for the playoffs and for the casual NBA fan, they're gone.
I mean, but look, you're going to have, in the West alone, you're going to have Denver and Minnesota is going to play a 7-game series. And Anthony Edwards is right now one of the five best players on the freaking
planet. But we're a year from the public knowing that.
I know.
So it's not carrying a rating.
I know.
He's not going to resonate.
No, the ratings are going to be bad. Oklahoma City's going to either play Dallas or the Clippers. You're going to have this young OKC team going up against either James Harden, Paul George, and Kawhi, or Luka
and Kyrie.
Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other series you're going to get. In the East, you're probably going to get Boston. So I guess it'd be Boston, Cleveland, and then New York, Indiana, but none of those are very.
Because I think your average sports fan, not NBA fan, average sports fan who's just turning on NBA, okay? Just flipping it on. Cavs Magic series tied 2-2. Good series. Magic, young team, fun.
Yeah, they're
all
fun.
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know off the top of their head if the average sports fan could name a player on either team outside of Donovan Mitchell and maybe Moncaro.
No, I think that's more than fair.
I think that's right. And I bet a lot can't do that. I think a lot, you said, hey, who does Donovan Mitchell play for? I think a lot of the average sports fans would not be able to answer that question.
Two of the best young coaches in the NBA have taken young teams, in one case to the conference semifinals, and in the other on the cusp of it. And I don't know that if you walked Mark Dagnall and Jamal Mosley down the street, anyone would stop them. I wonder if you took Mark Dagnall and Jamal Mosley, the coach of the Magic, and let them walk the Oxford Square together, side by side, just walking around, taking in a Friday afternoon, if anyone would notice and go, hey, those are two NBA head coaches right there.
Neil, I'm not sure.
Chris Beard, I think, would notice. I'm not sure another person.
I'm not sure you couldn't continue to increase your number of people. And as long as Steve Kerr is not in the group, anyone is getting noticed. I mean, I don't have a list of NBA head coaches in front of me, but the list of coaches that would get noticed on the Oxford Square is fewer than five.
So the Orlando Magic rosters, Paolo Banchero.
I knew that one.
Franz Wagner.
Couldn't pick him out of a lineup if you put him and one other dude in it.
Jalen Suggs. Franz's brother, Mo Wagner.
Sure.
Cole Anthony.
Sure.
Jonathan Isaac.
Sure.
Anthony Black. People might recognize him from his Arkansas days.
Sure, yes.
Let's see. Markelle Fultz.
Okay.
Former number one pick.
Yeah.
Joe Ingles.
I did not know that's who Markelle Fultz played for.
Gary Harris. Wendell Carter Jr.
I remember Wendell Carter from recruiting.
Yeah. His mother went to Ole Miss.
That's true, yes.
Jet Howard. Goja Batadze. Admiral Schofield played at Tennessee.
Sure.
Chuma Okeke from Auburn.
I remember that, yeah. Again, no clue who's the Magic.
Yeah.
Okay. You proved my point. Congratulations. Yes.
Do you think if Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs walked down the street in Oxford side by side that anyone would stop them and go, those guys play in the NBA?
They would think they were Ole Miss players because they're tall.
And Jalen's not even that tall.
Well, then never mind.
They might just think he's just a normal dude.
Hell no.
If Markelle Fultz and Joe Ingles walked down the street in Oxford, would anyone know?
No. I mean, maybe someone, yes. But, like, the populace? No.
Carson would know. He'd stop him.
No, I'm going through. Okay, this is not where I was going today, but now I can't help it. So it is what it is. It's Tuesday, Ole Miss plays and things and whatnot and all that stuff.
Ole Miss plays State tonight?
I think that's right. I'm a little worried I'm wrong on that, honestly.
No, it's tonight because they play Thursday.
Okay.
Ole Miss and State tonight. Okay. How bad is Ole Miss baseball right now? They play Mississippi State in the Governor's Cup and nobody cares. I'm assuming nobody cares.
Well,
nobody's emphatic about
it. It's not about State tonight. I will get some content up. OleMissSports.com was down this morning, and I needed stats on the thing I was writing about.
They must have used the same SEC sports server.
Oh, it's tomorrow. No, wrong. It's tomorrow.
Oh, they play on
Wednesday. I was off.
Wednesday and then play on Thursday at Auburn?
No, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday for Auburn.
Oh, I thought it was
Thursday. My bad. I didn't even know the day of the game. It's Wednesday.
You had told me you thought it was a Thursday series.
Yeah. Okay. So, no.
It's okay.
We're Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Auburn. We're Wednesday against Governor's Cup. Sure. We're fine. We'll get content to you. Okay. Again, that's not where I thought I was going, but it's where we are at the moment.
Okay.
So it is whatever. It's our show. And if you're here on April the 30th, you're here, guys. We're simpatico. We're all together at this point.
I mean, this is me just doing all I can to punt the
conversation
the revenue sharing conversation.
Look,
that's the reason I'm wearing a hood.
I'll give you a minute to think about this. Okay. This is how bad it was this morning. Is I knew we had to talk about the revenue thing for a minute, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna find other topics. I have a Broadway theater question for you before we stop the show today.
Okay,
literally, that's where I went down the wormhole this morning. Was I've got other stuff, but real quick before we go to break, this is my opinion. And when I say, I don't mean like 80%. I mean not like one or two, but like, oh, hey, is that guy NBA coach walking through the square? Okay.
Okay.
These are the only ones that I think would get picked. I have a list of NBA head coaches up in front of me.
Okay.
Quinn Snyder, no shot.
No way.
Joe Mazzulla, no shot. Jordy Fernandez, no shot. The Hornets currently don't have a coach. J.J. Redick would not get noticed.
You don't think J.J. Redick would get noticed on the square?
By 40% of the people?
Okay.
Hell no.
Okay.
Billy Donovan, yes.
Yeah.
Jamie Bickerstaff, no. Jason Kidd, yes.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I would hope. Michael Malone, no shot. He looks like an accountant.
Well, I mean, I would notice him, but sure.
Well, you don't count.
I don't count.
You watch G League games.
I do.
Yeah, you don't count. Steve Kerr, yes.
Yeah.
I would recognize Monty Williams, but probably not. but he's been around a long time. Yeah. He was in the, with the Pels. Like, there's some whatever there.
If you told me I could get Monty Williams on the podcast, I'd be so excited just because he had such a fascinating tragic life story.
Udoka at Houston, no. Rick Carlisle, I would notice him, but no.
Yeah.
Only because he was Mav.
Yeah.
Big Mav fan. Tyronn Lue. Yeah, but I think they'd go, hey, is that that guy? Like, a name? I don't know.
Okay.
Darvin Ham, no way in hell. And he's the Lakers.
Well, yeah, for now.
Give it a minute.
Yeah.
Taylor Jenkins, he's in Memphis and no shot in hell.
Yeah, really good coach.
I'm fine, but Spoelstra, surely.
Yeah, people would recognize Eric Spoelstra.
Maybe the most recognizable Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I would think.
Chris Finch, by the way, I'm sorry about your patella. It is ruptured. That was the injury.
That's a hell of an injury.
To Chris Finch. Willie Green, no shot. Tom Thibodeau, no shot. Daigneault,
you don't
no
think
shot.
People would recognize Tibbs?
Neil.
Okay.
Jamal Mosley, no.
No, we've already sent Mark Daigneault and then Jamal Mosley down the square and nobody saw him.
Nick Nurse, Frank Vogel, Chauncey Billups. In his day, yes. Right
you don't
now,
think people would recognize Nick Nurse?
You're not serious
no,
right
I'm,
now.
I mean,
you're not seriously asking me this question.
The Raptors won a title.
Oh, well. Popovich, yes.
Yeah, people recognize.
Djokovic, no. Will Hardy, no. Brian Keefe, no. What's the list?
Yeah, Will Hardy, people would think he was a Sigma guy. He's coming back for Sigma guy.
Hardman said three names he recognized. That's my point. Recognized. And he's sitting on a sports podcast on YouTube at 8:33 on April the 30th.
If I sent Donovan Mitchell and Max Strus through the square, would anyone notice them?
I would notice Donovan Mitchell. I wouldn't have any clue on the other.
Tristan Thompson? You get the Kardashian thing, right? Maybe.
Yeah, people, okay. That's
maybe.
Sure.
But if I sent Caris LeVert and Evan Mobley around the square, nobody would really notice them, right?
No, see, Snide, that's where you're wrong. I'm not an NBA fan, but I'm also not in the 0.01%. No way.
What's the 0.01%?
Like, of knowing any NBA at all.
Oh.
No. Now, I'm not in the 60th percentile, but I'm not in the 0.01 either. I mean, it's the most casual of casual in the world. But, again, yeah. I'm not seeing them on the court. I'm saying if you just had somebody walked by you, and you might, even if you went, guy kind of looks familiar. But going, oh, my God, that's the head coach of the Hornets. Hell no. Just telling you. It's true.
Oh, I believe you.
All right. I'll get back to my original question that we were going to lead this podcast with in a minute. First, tell you about Prime Shrimp. PrimeShrimp.com. A lot of different flavors available for you. Everything from their soy ginger option is the most recent flavor they have going. It's great with hibachi dishes, extra proteins, rices, and much more. You can add to it. Also, their best sellers, their signature, it's awesome. It's kind of a garlic flavor. Their New Orleans style barbecue is their best seller. It's great for lunch, quick snack, protein snack, or a dinner. There's a lot going on. Kids got stuff going on. Let Prime Shrimp help you out. They deliver directly to your door in freezer to plate in fewer than 10 minutes and give you a little discount. Buy 5 pouches or more, fill up on your favorites, try one of everything, 25% off there with Prime Shrimp. So again, that's code RG at PrimeShrimp.com.
I put 10 thoughts up yesterday around noon. They're brought to you by Andrew Sego, Sego Wealth Management. Are you retiring soon? How long should you wait to take Social Security? What accounts should you pull from first? Are you already retired? Should you consider Roth conversions? These are just some of the questions that can only be answered with a personalized retirement income plan. Andrew Sego, Sego Wealth Management, specializes in helping folks just like you come up with their retirement game plan. Whether you meet at his office in Collierville or prefer Zoom from anywhere, schedule a free discovery meeting. See what they can do for you. It's rebelsretire.com. We'll have a hand raise, guys, on Thursday night. A little bit of a crossover edition again. Josh Hendrickson, the host of the Josh Hendrickson Show, will be in studio. Take your calls. That's brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating, different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Batesville, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call Southern 662-429-4429. The College Corner is in Oxford, just off of Sisk Avenue in the Oxford Commons. You've got about 2 weeks to go in, make a purchase and leave a tip. That tip goes into the Grove Collective, and it also gets you registered for a Grove Collective Lane Kiffin signed Ole Miss football. So it's College Corner. That's only in Oxford, but you can also go shopping in other two Jackson locations and online at collegecornerstore.com. We're brought to you by Argent Wealth. When you work with Argent Wealth's 401k advisory services, you gain a valuable advisory services team and time-saving resource that will help you develop and maintain a solid strategy for your retirement plan. They're committed to providing you with the personalized attention and involvement that you want and need. Their goal is to help you manage your 401k plan properly and ultimately improve your employees' retirement readiness. It's myargentwealth.com. And we're brought to you by John Edwards. I was talking to John just yesterday, working on something that's maybe a year plus out. He's helping me already. He can do that for you as well. What you do is you give him a call, like I did. You give him some parameters. You give him a budget. And then you just sit back and let him work on it, come up with some options for you that you're probably not going to be able to find on your own. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of the services either. 901-494-3387 or send him an email at jedwards@regencytravel.net.
So this goes for just sports in general. It's kind of where I was headed into when we started this conversation. Young team, youngest team ever to win a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
Not even in the window yet, supposed to be.
No.
When you started this season, the window was not supposed to be open, and then this has happened.
No. Agreed.
Ran down the Nuggets, ran down the Wolves, get the one seed,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
At what point is our man calculus changing to, hey, go win this thing?
One more series win.
You got to get past the Mavs or the Clips.
Yep.
And then suddenly it's like, well.
But here's where it starts to change is anytime you have a young team that you're watching, you're like, okay, well, they're going to hit the wall. They're going to hit the wall. But they didn't hit the wall. Before the season, Chet's so frail. He's coming off the injury. He's not going to be able to play. The Thunder have played 86 games this season, and he's played in every one. So that's out the window. You're like, okay, well, you only have one star. Mm-mm. They have two stars, maybe three. But Jalen Williams, Santa Clara Jalen Williams, is a star. He's a star. He's putting up star numbers. He's playing star basketball. He's going to be an all-star next season if he's healthy. He's an absolute snub on the U.S. Olympic team thing. They have a core that you thought was not going, it was going to need time to figure out how to play together, and they don't. They've played together. Mark Daigneault won NBA Coach of the Year for a reason. 2 months ago, it was, there's no way that Josh Giddey can stay on the floor in a playoff series. Last night, he made three huge threes in the fourth to basically put the final nail in the Pelicans' coffin. I don't know, man. I mean, at some point, your eyes tell you something. There's a narrative that gets established,
mm-hmm.
and then your eyes tell you something different. You see that happen in college football all the time, right? Like, there was a narrative that got established last year and every other year about Texas A&M, and then you watch them a couple of times, and you're like, I don't see it, right? That happens.
Sure.
Well, the opposite is here. Oh, well, this team's too young. Until they're not. They didn't get rattled. They swept. Look, the Pelicans didn't have Zion. I get it. But Lou Dort, Brandon Ingram is so happy he doesn't have to see Lou Dort for months. The pieces are there. Do I think they're going to win the title? I do not. I'm not sure they get past the next round.
It changes what you're saying, because you win one more series, the West is freaking hard. It's hard to win a title, and you go, well, it's only eight games. Like, don't waste the opportunity suddenly now.
Well, no. I mean, sometimes the window.
And in the East, the Celtics, Porzingis got the ankle. And
sure.
I mean.
Look, Denver's going to have its hands full with Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, the Thunder are going to have their hands full with the Clippers or the Mavericks. Make no mistake. I mean, it's not going to be a sweep.
Feels like Clips, but yeah.
I think.
2-2, they get home court back.
You don't know what Kawhi's deal is.
Kawhi didn't play the other day.
I mean, you know, Paul George has a contract thing. Clippers have stuff. Thunder have no stuff. Everybody's kind of happy right now. I mean, that won't last. Somebody will get disillusioned at some point. It's possible that one of the guys wants to be a star and have his team, if you will. But that's not the issue now. They have fun. They play together. They play really good team basketball. They kind of, it's the thing about Minnesota, the way they blew out Phoenix. I mean, just destroyed Phoenix. Is the narrative goes, well, they're just the three seed and they're not whatever. You're like, I'm watching them and I'm, but they look legitimately good. Denver looks very fallible right now. If you've watched the Nuggets much over the last 3 years, this is as vulnerable as they have looked in a while. They're still really good, and they're still winning games.
Yeah,
and they beat a proud Lakers team that has two surefire Hall of Famers on it. But let's not pretend that the Lakers were a contender. They weren't. And Denver trailed the majority of that series. Now, they won four games, and they get credit for that. But they're going to have a tougher test this time around.
They're getting benefit of the doubt because of last season, or the title.
I mean, you got Rudy Gobert now. You got Anthony Edwards now. Karl Anthony Towns. Mike Conley. I mean, it's a different group that you're about to go up against.
How old is Conley?
He's in his 30s, but we do this deal with age, and I don't know that it's as – I think it's a media narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Father Time's going to get everybody, but again, I mean, LeBron doesn't look like he's losing to Father Time right now. He eventually will.
Question in the stream: there is no other than the academic deadline, a deadline to pick your school and enroll once you're in the portal. This is
correct.
Strictly about getting in the portal.
Correct.
A player has until the end of the day to get in the portal.
Yeah.
But then they get whatever time they'd like to make their decision relative to what they are trying to accomplish.
August.
Yeah. There's no rush.
No.
And just because the clock hits midnight and a player's not in doesn't mean they're not actually in, because it takes processing time.
Right.
So as long as the request is made to get in the portal, you'll still see names trickle over the next 48 hours, something like that, as this thing plays out. So, and I saw somebody say that the grad students have one more day than everybody else. So it's basically the same clock. It's not like last year, but a grad student would have like through May 1st, not through April 30th, for whatever reason.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. I'm just pointing that out, being consistent there with that. I'm going to be fast on this revenue sharing thing, because
someone says talk about Penny Boone. I don't know anything about Penny Boone.
Yeah, he couldn't get in at Kentucky?
Couldn't get in at Kentucky. I know there's this assumption that Ole Miss is going to go add another running back. I'm not privy to that. And frankly, and this is, I'm going to be careful here. I don't want to upset anybody. But anybody who tells you that they know exactly what the Ole Miss football staff is thinking about what they're doing or not doing in the portal is, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. That's not information that they share.
Lane is very consistent with, if it doesn't help, then no.
Right.
In all ways. Recruiting information, depth charts.
All of it.
All of it.
So when someone tells you that they know their full plan, They're being disingenuous. I'm not saying anybody's saying that. I don't know. I don't read the other publications.
So the quick version of this revenue sharing thing, and I actually already had it sort of on my list of, I think I had it on like the second column of something I hoped I didn't have to get to, but I could talk about it if we needed something to pass time, is, look, it's pretty unanimous that everybody believes that we're within 2 years of this, and I'm probably being a little conservative with that number, but something like that. This is in direct correlation to the House versus NCAA case, that players are saying they deserve compensation from a back compensation, as well as the current group of players deserving compensation with this. This is the court case that has scared schools for a while now since it started, and there is an effort to settle, to keep this out of hands where you just never know what it looks like.
Yeah.
USA Today is estimating that should, I guess technically the NCAA, it isn't NCAA, lose, it would be catastrophic in a jury trial, because it would affect 7,000 athletes that would have to be paid at that point, and you're done. There's nothing to do in that realm. So the reason there was some movement yesterday, and again, I continue to hear the framework that most expect. Now, you're not seeing this as strong in news stories because we haven't gotten that far, number one. And number two, there's going to be a fallout when it comes out if this is what ends up happening, because it does not pertain to every sport. The way that most schools believe the revenue sharing will at least begin is you have to have, I guess, technically net revenue to have revenue sharing, because there has to be money in the bank from that sport. Those sports would get an amount of money to dole out, almost like a salary cap inside your program. It would be based off media rights and the conferences and what the averages are, like however they figure out that formula. Schools could opt in or out and wouldn't have to pay up to that amount, because some schools couldn't, but they couldn't go over the cap that is set by the conference or NCAA or however that works. I don't know the answer to that. It's why I said yesterday it would bring more illegal under the table recruiting back into play, because there would be a cap on whatever player gets in this way, unlike the NIL right now. So yesterday, they called it deep discussions to reach a settlement in the House versus NCAA case. I'm reading here from ESPN. Pete Thamel could lay the framework for sharing revenue with student athletes as part of a new business model. Quote, while sources stress that no deal is imminent, details about what a multi-billion-dollar settlement could look like are expected to be shared with campuses in the near future. Sources indicated the top-end revenue share per school, once it's determined, would be in the neighborhood of $20 million annually. So that's a number that athletic departments would have to find for this at this point, upwards of $20 million.
Makes the Texas A&M thing kind of interesting the other day.
It does. Although that's yet to be settled, whatever number is set by the settlement, individual schools will be able to opt in to share revenue up to that number with their student athletes at their discretion. They could choose to share less, but not more. Plaintiff's attorney Steve Berman tells Thamel, Judge Wilkin has told us that she expected us to be discussing settlements given the lengthy litigation over the issues and the party's familiarity with the strengths and weaknesses on each side. We are simply following the judge's instructions and have nothing to report other than that. Attorney Mitt Winter, one thing to note, this is key. This is why you're going to need an extra step here.
Mm-hmm.
This wouldn't be a long-term solution. A settlement only applies to the class members. Some could opt out, or a freshman not in the class could come in next year and sue. Also, with a cap, it would be vulnerable to antitrust attacks. We've lost our freaking minds.
There's no doubt. There's no, I mean,
we have lost our minds.
I catch myself biting my tongue on this. And I'll tell you why, because we do a show that is listened to and watched by people who love college sports. And I'm not a lawyer. You're not either. But both of us have talked to people who are pretty informed on this. And I've yet to hear one person go, oh, this is going to be great.
No.
Not one person.
No.
Frankly, I've talked to people who are like, I'm glad I'm almost out of this. I feel sorry for people that are about to do jobs like the ones that we have now. This is going to be impossible. Those are words that I hear when I talk to people.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
And I talk to people all around the place. Just casually people that I know in coaching. And they talk to their administration, and their administration tells them the same thing. This is not going in a good direction for the future of the sport. I mean, we talk about fans being turned off at the NBA. I'm shocked that this does not turn more people off.
And it hasn't. It hasn't fully fleshed yet, so we're premature,
right,
actually, on that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you talk about coaches getting out of the game and all. And look, it's where both can be true. To really talented coaches can go, hey, I'm going to the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. I'm getting out of this. I'm doing something else. Mm-hmm. This sucks.
Sure.
But with the money available, there's going to be somebody to take their spot. The machine keeps rolling.
Sure.
It doesn't change.
No.
Now, does the talent come down some? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. That's whatever. But the machine doesn't change simply because a lot of people get out. It just goes younger and younger, and they keep spitting you out faster and faster and faster. The calendar changes. And I think you're going to see it on the admin side, too. I mean, I've had multiple admin people talk about how you're because, look, if you're an athletic director, you're probably mm-hmm. pretty successful.
Sure.
You could go to the private sector and make money and do corporate
sure.
stuff.
You're of course. You're
not defined to an athletics department.
No, you've essentially been, in that case, you've been a CEO. You could go get a job as a CEO somewhere. I mean, you've run a business.
A $150 million business.
Yes.
So in saying that, I was told by somebody, and they were, and I think it's more than whatever, is you're going to see more athletics directors do stuff basically at their alma maters or somewhere they care about.
Yeah.
Because all the bullshit, when I could be doing something else.
Sure.
I got to really care about the place or want to make some difference or have some type of idealistic stance on this.
Yeah.
Or I go, I'll just go work for Kellogg's or whomever.
Sure. Whatever. I mean, that's why I've said all along that I'm the wrong person for this, and I've pledged not to write about it, and I'm trying not to talk about it. I'm the wrong person for this. Boy, you better really be tying some heartstrings to people, because you're asking people when they leave college to keep giving a lot of money to that school at a time when, hey, taxes are going up, inflation is up. There's stuff going on. I mean, the real world. We don't talk about a lot of real world stuff here, but there's a lot of stuff going on. And you're asking people to keep giving. And now we're going to do this? I mean, and I realize this is coming, but what's coming on top of this? Why? And I'm going all around the place. If I'm the players, why do I agree to a cap?
No, that can be true, too.
There's no sign that anyone in the legal system is ready to go, hey, you guys. No, it's just give, give, give. Players. Everything is for the players. Everything is for labor. That's where we are today. So if you're the players, why do you agree to a cap?
Well, and the players keep winning. So you keep asking until somebody stops you.
Sure.
My problem is on the other side is who's going to stand up and go, no, no, no. You know what? This is what we're doing. And if you want to go play, if you want to go find semi-pro football somewhere,
sure.
Feel free.
Right.
We're not making you come to college.
No.
But this is how we're going to do things. However, we got to structure this thing to be a private entity that we can make our own rules. Because, I mean, look, that's the part of this that always, whatever, is like, hey, the NCAA is this thing, they make their own rules, except they don't. Because we go, well, state law supersedes in this. And, I mean, state law doesn't necessarily supersede Augusta National. Augusta National can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
Private club. What?
So in this revenue sharing, I keep hearing people tell me, and I'm asking you this, which is not fair. I'm grilling you on something. You're not the damned attorney. You don't know. But you're the person across the way
sure,
from me. And I'm trying to do a podcast. So
sure.
If it sounds personal, it's not. The only sports that make revenue are going to get revenue.
That's what I was told by someone who would know.
So when the Title IX lawsuit comes in, how are they going to fight that one?
I know.
How you guys planning to fight that one, Chase?
I don't know.
What's your plan with Title IX, Chase? Now, I mean, so how does it work? I mean, I'm asking. Jen, I know you don't know the answer. I'm just talking.
It is my question that I always come back to. And, I mean, I ask people who are going to be in these meetings.
I know you do.
And they go, well, I mean, it's like,
well, because that's a total game changer.
The answer is either you find a way to offset it by giving a little bit, an amount.
Mm-hmm.
Just, hey, no, we're doing things by the numbers, but you're not shut out. Here's $20,000. I don't know numbers, but
I know.
Here's 10 grand. Here's 100 grand. Here's 50 grand. Whatever makes sense. I don't know.
Okay.
Here's that. Because the only other answer is, no, they're pulled off into a completely separate entity that no longer is Title IX compliant for whatever reason and how you do that.
And the only way to do that is to pull them off into a separate entity. They're no longer student athletes. They're just contracted employees.
They're 1099s, essentially.
Yes.
Which no one wants.
At which point, I question this, and then maybe you'll tell me I'm wrong. If they're not students anymore, okay?
Sure.
They're not students anymore. You don't really have that tie that you've always had. hey, these guys out on the field.
Yeah, we were both sitting in Bondurant in English class.
No, not anymore. Now, no, they're just professional athletes who wear Ole Miss.
Well, here's the better part. They become athletes. Ole Miss is going to send them a bill for nutrition, for cleaning their uniforms.
Yeah.
For using their workout, a gym membership fee. Like, there's so many different parts of this that are.
And so when they're not students anymore, or they're not specifically students anymore, are fans as attached? When you completely take all of the shroud of amateurism away from it, maybe they are. I'm not saying they aren't. I'm curious by this.
Yes, you pay taxes on scholarship money. On NIL. Ole Miss, the collective does a good job of taking it out on the front end so they don't have issues that way.
Otherwise, you'd have disasters.
No, I don't know. I mean, that is something that no one knows 100% sure what that looks like. I think it ends up being some minimum amount to satisfy that there is opportunity there. But again, it, by definition, Title IX is about the opportunity for whatever. Well, the revenue is an opportunity. Nobody's stopping a school from having revenue in a sport. It simply just doesn't exist. Now, you've got to take that and fight it and be okay fighting that in the realm that we're in. But by definition, it's the opportunity.
Austin, thanks for the super chat. He says, what happens first, the SEC and Big Ten split from the NCAA to do their own thing, or NCAA revenue sharing is mandatory?
Revenue sharing.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I don't really know what the whole do their own thing is, what that means. I know we talk about it, but again, you're getting into privatizing. And do you do that in every sport, or you just do football? And if you're... All right.
One more note on all this, and I'll be happy to move on. Because that's where we're at. That was much more than you actually got from the news reports, because the news reports were just doing this thing where they don't really know what to say because nobody has an answer. And they're going, hey, the House case and the guys and the revenue sharing, and they're talking and they're trying to figure it out. That's what Dennis Dodd wrote. To the point that CBS puts like ads in the middle of the story, and I scroll down thinking, oh, there's going to be 10 more paragraphs, and the story was just over. And I was like, oh, well, thanks, Dennis. Awesome.
Yeah.
Guys were talking. The judge said, you guys need to talk about settling. So both sides went, hey, we're having a conversation about settling. Cool. Okay. Move on. That's all it was. Because she's going, you guys are going to string this out 18 months and make everybody crazy. So quit. And they're just fulfilling the obligation from the judge right now. That is what's happening.
Well, if I'm the class action, I'm not really all that motivated to settle.
Not right now.
Because I think I'm going to win.
Yeah.
And I might win in California with a pretty liberal jury, probably.
Now it would have to expand, but yeah. I mean, you can't automatically make one California jury speak for the entire country of NCAA, but...
People would fear the aftershocks of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there would be great fear if that thing went to a jury trial.
Sure. Then my brain glossed over on this. 12-team college football playoff format running into some problems already, topped by the lack of a mechanism for avoiding first-round rematches, according to Ross Dellinger, who notes, simple, solvable problem. They can implement a protocol requiring first-round games to feature two teams from separate conferences. Just move the freaking seating one spot.
My God.
Why are we complicating this? Because they already do it anyway. The NCAA tournament does this shit. There doesn't need to be a rule. You just simply take the 8 and make them the 9 or whatever.
That's it.
My God. Worrying about something to worry about something.
And when someone bitches.
Not everything needs a commission. Jesus.
This is why I'm telling it's doomed. It's doomed.
Even we're making this a bureaucracy is, hey, if we do the 7-10, it's got Ohio State, Michigan. Okay, can we move Michigan to the 11 and let them play Ole Miss? Yeah. Oh, done. Thanks, guys. I'll send you my consulting bill.
But they don't put a hand raised guy in the back of their room. They have a committee.
No, the ranking said they're 7-10. So what do we do?
Okay, then play again.
What? The NFL does it.
It's just
it
a
works.
Football game. I mean, the Bengals and Ravens might play 3 times. Okay.
And we're all in. We go, oh, they hate each other. Let's do this.
There were times last
year. Here's the secret. I'd rather have that.
Of course.
Hey, Ohio State and Michigan played a 34-31 game 2 weeks ago. You want to see it again? Yes, I do, actually.
Yeah, sure. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Or we can move Cincinnati up and let them. No, I don't want to see Cincinnati play them.
No.
Play again. Let's these two play. Yeah, we don't go into the NFL playoffs and go, oh, my God, the Saints and the Falcons. Oh, crap.
No.
You're like, no, hold on.
Yeah.
Whatever. Rams, Seahawks hated each other. Like, hey.
Well, in the NFL, if a team's playing week 17 and they turn around and play in the wild card round,
it happens.
No one says anything.
It's part of the game that both sides just sort of go through the motions and they do what they do.
Oh, but you can't have that because now you're taking away from the majesty of the regular season. Shut up.
So we got that. And then, to Sankey's credit, like, he got called out. Like, I guess called out would be the word. Dellinger notes in quotes, Sankey evaded repeated questions about the CFP, instituting a protocol to avoid rematches, citing the current policy. Because he's going, oh, my God, who gives?
That's what he wants to say.
Is just shut up.
He wants to say, if I tell you guys what I'm really thinking right now, you're going to all get offended. Get worked up.
And then their other one. Teams in the top four of the final rankings that did not win their conference will be forced to play a first-round game while weaker conference champions earn a bye. Yes, we've already been talking about this. So now why are we relitigating? And again, I don't like it, but if that's the way to get a 12-team playoff, then great. Sure, I don't care. It's fine. We'll all live.
Or don't have automatic qualifiers, just seed them 1 through 12.
Well, that's fine, too. And then the last one, which I am going to throw something at this point.
Okay.
The selection committee will be faced with the real possibility that no group of five team, even its best champion, is ranked. The question emerged during the bracket exercise, and Bill Hancock confirmed the protocol is for the committee to choose the best group of five champion among the five league winners. We've been saying this the entire time. One team is going to be a sacrificial lamb,
yep,
and you're better off being the five seed, potentially, than some of these other seeds, because you get that name.
They're going to put on Cinderella's gown and go get smoked.
Yes.
And eventually TV will go, hey, we don't really need
number 5 Florida State, number 31 SMU coming up. Not SMU anymore, they're in the ACC, but whatever.
But yeah, and eventually the TV people go, you know, we don't need this game anymore, we're good. I'd rather LSU be in it.
TV people need that game to be really competitive the first couple of years or it's out.
Yeah. Who do you want? You want 12th ranked LSU or 27th ranked Toledo? LSU, thank you.
Go ahead and solve that for everybody.
Let's send LSU to Austin again. That'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, yes, we are litigating things that already have an answer. We've already decided, but for some reason we have to keep talking about
it. This is what bothers me. Is that everyone goes, and Lane's right, by the way. He's exactly right. I'm not. This is not a criticism of Kiffin at all. I think he probably would pull his hair out too. Everyone acknowledges that we're going to an NFL model. Just do what the NFL does. Take their playoff format and copy it.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
It does.
So do it.
And it's familiar. We know it.
Everybody's fine with it.
Oh, we have no issues with it.
Are you always going to get the best team that wins the championship? No, but you don't get that now. Who cares? Yeah. I don't hear anybody around Ole Miss going, you know, had 2022 national title. Kind of sucked because we really weren't the best team.
Tennessee deserved it.
Tennessee was better. No, nobody does that. Nobody goes back at 1983 and goes, you know, that NC State story, it was cute, but they weren't the best team. No, it's whatever. It's the playoffs. You get hot, whatever.
Yeah.
That's where we are. That's what we're doing.
What we do.
So here we go. I mean, it's a pro model. Yes, the regular season is minimized. To a degree, not much. And people are still going to watch football because it's football until they don't.
Yeah, sure.
Until you completely turn the fans off, at which point maybe they don't. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, come back. Podcast brought to you by G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area in the Upper Med Sink. Your prescriptions each month. Same day each month and take care of you. One trip to the pharmacy, one delivery, and you have everything you need when you need it with G&M. They also have Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs. They'll take care of you there too. And it's easy to transfer your medications. You make one phone call, they take care of the rest. They handle it for you. Let them be your community pharmacy of choice. Again, in Oxford, that is G&M, 662-236-2222.
We're brought to you by Oxford's newest Greek restaurant on the square, Opa. It's a perfect place to have dinner, lunch, Have your company dinner, festive party event as well. Great, fabulous food, craft libations. They can accommodate up to 200 guests. For catering or booking information, contact Jeannie, 601-421-7147. The podcast brought to you by Service Specialist Staffing and Recruiting Agency. If your company is looking to hire quality, hard-to-find talent, Service Specialist can help. Keep in mind that payment of service is solely contingent on if you decide to hire a candidate that they send. You have nothing to lose, so give Will, Sydney, or Kelsey a call at 601-573-9242 or check out their new and improved website, ServiceSpecialistLTD.com. Get the beautiful, healthy smile you deserve at Corinth Dental. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative, state-of-the-art procedures that will result in a beautiful, long-lasting smile. From routine checkups to advanced treatment, including implants and Invisalign, Corinth Dental is here to help you achieve your smile goals. Schedule your appointment today. Take the first step toward a better version of yourself. It's CorinthDental.com. Are you a displaced corporate executive wanting to put your career in your own hands? Are you an experienced entrepreneur looking to diversify? Either way, Andy Ludeke can help. He owns multiple franchises and businesses and uses his expertise to help others find their American dream through a very thorough and free consultation process. So call Andy, put your life and your career in your own hands. It's 100% free, nothing to lose. It's MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy@MyPerfectFranchise.net, or 404-973-9901.
A little palate cleanser after that. We're going to go to the Broadway question. I'll come back to some other stuff. Major League Baseball is going to get their old jerseys back, but not before next season. Just quickly on that. So we can't do it in midseason. That'd be too weird and bad. Nice. Nike could no way make uniforms. But
no chance.
It'll be here for next season.
The players are more upset about the pants.
Because they rip and they're thin and the zippers are even bad, apparently.
Yeah.
Look at Ole Miss wears those navy ones and I go, oh. They told me they weren't going to wear them anymore. Then they put red nameplates on the back and they started wearing them again. I thought they were batting practice jerseys at first.
Maybe they're trying to get the old blue jersey mojo going again.
Not the same jerseys.
Oh.
Should be wearing a gray suit and just tank it.
Yeah.
3,634 players currently in the portal, by the way.
What?
Yeah.
30? So stupid. Shut up, Neil.
Hey, quickly on your phone, what's 3,634 divided by 85? Just curious. So 43 teams, for lack of a, are in the portal.
It's insane.
43 teams.
So many kids getting such bad advice.
A lot of them are screwed.
Such bad advice.
Just screwed.
Yeah. And there's no portal regulation on the way, by the way. People say, well, maybe they'll shrink the windows.
You know, I don't like what it does to roster management and roster building. But it's kind of the one way that it's not completely pro player is you make a bad decision, you live with the consequences. Welcome to life. So I don't have a lot of sympathy in a lot of ways for this. Maybe I'm wrong.
No.
But I don't.
I'm with you.
It's the only kind of stopgap for everything being the other way. I kind of go,
So the players are going to get revenue sharing. Are they going to sign a contract? How does the revenue sharing work if you hit the portal? Do you still get your share of the revenue up until the date that you left the portal?
I don't know.
What if you come in January and you get 4 months and then you hit the portal again and go?
You don't actually play.
Do you still get those 4 months worth of revenue sharing?
I don't know. Maybe you only get paid during the season.
Like they do in the pros? Just pay them every Monday?
Well, that wouldn't make sense. I mean, I just solved the problem. Everybody would just agree and move on with their business. But I bet we can't because the players are going to get paid even when they don't actually play.
So, how will you let the players survive in February and March?
It was a simple time back when they used to do.
Did they do endorsement deals? Still?
You know, back when they used to do the meals ticket, the nutrition table or the stipend. And our biggest problem was that Houston couldn't keep his players out of McDonald's with their stipend.
Who will enforce that schools follow the cap? Who will enforce that? Will there be a...
The NCAA, I'm sure.
Will there be a system of punishment?
I'm sure it's the enforcement staff, the NCAA. It's a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of...
Well, in fairness, now you're asking them to really do things they're not qualified to do.
100% now. I don't know your answers. But yes, those are the questions.
I mean, I got lots.
Everybody has a lot of ideas. Nobody got a lot of answers. But it makes for good spring columns. You go, I'll tell you what I'd do. And you go, okay, here's the 98 problems with that. And then nothing.
Because, like, if we were sitting in the room with Keith Carter and them right now, they would have two thoughts. One, I wish you guys would shut the F up. Probably. And then two, you know, they have a point. They'd say they're not exactly wrong.
No.
And some of the people in that room would be saying, oh, yeah, I got the same questions. And unlike them, I don't get to just walk out of here and not swim.
I mean, it's a good point. Gingerbread's a good point. There is no revenue in February and March. There's nothing to share.
Well, I mean, but the TV contract is...
No, I get it.
Year-round, right?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, technically, the like Ole Miss gets its cut of the TV deal one time, once a year.
That's
right.
Correct,
so should
so you, technically it's in 12 by 12s.
So you should take the money and at that point spread it among everybody. But then what if they leave? Do they have to pay it back? Yeah, how does that work?
I don't know. I don't.
I mean, I just have questions. That's all I'm asking. Since this model's so awesome, then you should have awesome answers to all of these questions.
I'm just draw some contracts up. No big deal. Everybody will agree.
Yeah. So how do you? Is this going to be collectively bargained? They go form a union. How's that going to work?
UAB football joined the union.
Saw that. Yeah. Is that where we're headed?
Dilfer did that thing where he answers publicly in a way that he has to, even though there's no way in hell he believes it privately. We get a lot of that now.
Yeah, so how's that work?
I don't know.
Is there a union rep that goes and negotiates with the TV people?
I don't know.
Does Keith, when he does his stuff
I don't think he's negotiating. I think it's just some czar is going to come up with a formula that comes up with a number.
So who will they meet with, the ADs or the presidents?
I don't know.
Does Boyce need to sit down and meet with the Ole Miss football player rep?
I don't know.
Iron out some issues?
Who would you want the rep to be if you're an
Ole Miss player? I would assume they'd vote for Jackson Dart.
You think so?
Although I would think Jackson probably would say, I really don't want that responsibility. I'd really just rather focus on getting ready for football season. But he's the exception, right? Because he actually has NIL deals.
Yeah.
Most of these guys, they don't really do any NIL.
Mm-mm.
They're just playing football for a salary. So they're basically employees, and we're doing this NIL shell game. And nobody really questions it because that makes you sound like a jackass. But it's like, it's the truth. You call it NIL. What are they doing? What promotions are they doing? Well, they're promoting the university, so they're an employee. They're a contracted employee. You're paying them a sum of money. Well, the Grove Collective's doing it. Mm-hmm. And what's the difference? Semantics.
Well, here soon you'll be able to market it that way, is they can enter into contracts together and the university can pay the collective for promoting athletes.
Right. And if the collective ever markets the player, then they have the ability to market. But if they don't market them, they still get paid.
Well, because it's the ability to, not the
right
application of.
Right.
Correct. Yes. Are you kind of impressed, by the way, of Lane winning the pickleball match against Priestcorn and an actual tennis player? Beat Nico Slavic with Priestcorn?
I didn't see this.
You didn't see this? Yeah, there's a video of it on the internets. Yeah.
Kiffin's apparently pretty good at pickleball, right?
Well, you know, I had run into Mark Byers, the women's tennis coach, a few weeks ago, and Mark said that, you know, he's pretty good, but he doesn't really want to play actual tennis players. There's a limit to how far he wants to go, but
yeah.
Kiffin has been kind of walking through everyone on the pickleball court, and Priestcorn went to the portal, if you will, and pulled in Nico Slavic, who's a really good tennis player for Ole Miss men's tennis. And
yeah.
Apparently Kiffin and his partner won and beat Priestcorn and the actual tennis player. Because my gut tells me an actual tennis player would wipe the floor with most humans at pickleball.
Although some of the advantages that the tennis player has on the tennis court
not disappears
same at all. In pickleball.
Yeah, it's still a lot of, because it's, I mean, that's the reason pickleball was so popular, is that a wide berth of athletic ability can play pretty competitively because it's a small court and it's a lot of hand-eye, but not crazy hand-eye. And that kind of thing. So
Ginger asked what happened to Tom Morris. He's representing somebody in
something. Oh, he's still rolling.
Yeah.
He's
been fine.
Tom's all good in this.
Yeah.
All right. Tony Award nominations will be released.
Is he still based in Arkansas?
I don't know. Tony Award nominations released this morning. That's the Broadway Awards for anyone who's under a rock. So here's your quiz.
I'm kind of under this rock.
Are you going to be bad at this?
Probably.
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
Maybe I'm into this a lot more than you are.
Almost certainly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you name the top 10 highest grossing Broadway shows of all time, or since 1982 is technically when they started keeping records?
Okay.
So I'll give you a little bit of how I did. I didn't write them down. I didn't try to guess 10, but I guessed 7 just off the top of my head, and 6 were correct.
Cats?
That was the one that I missed. I guessed it, and it was not on the top 10.
Oh, I'm in trouble now.
Okay, come on. Just think real quick.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, don't overthink it. Just go, hey.
Hamilton.
That's correct. I got Hamilton. That was a highlight.
Annie?
That is incorrect. Okay. I watched this 3 weeks ago. Do you know what I actually went to see? You called me, and I was in the theater.
Yeah, and I think I've seen it before, too, but I can't recall it right now. Lion King?
That is on there, yes.
Okay.
That was actually not one I guessed in my quick guess.
Phantom of the Opera?
That is correct.
Okay.
I guessed that one.
Wicked.
That was what I saw, and that is on the list.
That's what
that
you
is
saw
number two all time.
You saw that recently, right?
I did, yeah, a few weeks ago. It is my favorite Broadway musical. You have 4 of 10.
Chicago.
That is on the list. I did not guess that one quickly. When
there was a Oxford resident who was a star.
That is correct.
Native.
Yes, that is correct.
I don't know that she's a resident any longer. I'm not sure where she resides.
Yes.
But she grew up in Oxford.
That is correct.
She was one of the leading roles in Chicago. We got delayed because of the COVID thingy.
Yep. You got 5.
Oh, boy. I'm up against my knowledge barrier here.
I've actually seen 4 of the last 5 that has not been picked. There's another Disney one.
I'm guessing on this one because I'm thinking about names that I've heard. Les Mis.
That's on there. Yeah.
Okay.
That's number 10.
Another Disney one.
I did not get this other Disney one.
I don't know.
Aladdin.
Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Okay, you're missing 3. One is actually coming to the Orpheum in about 2 months.
That doesn't help me at all.
I know. I'm just telling you.
One's
about some singers.
I don't know.
Okay. We'll stop there. Okay. Jersey Boys.
Oh.
Okay. Mamma Mia.
Oh, I should have known that one.
And Book of Mormon.
I'm a little mad at myself right now, but this is not my wheelhouse.
Lion King, number 1. Wicked, number 2. Yeah. Phantom of the Opera, number 3. Hamilton, number 4. Which, considering how new it is a huge number.
Yeah.
Book of Mormon, 5. Chicago, 6. Aladdin, 7. Mamma Mia, 8. Jersey Boys, 9. Les Mis, 10.
Oh.
Yes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. So, for anyone out there, that is your top 10.
You went to see Wicked recently.
Yeah, like 3 weeks ago, okay. 4 weeks ago. Yeah. It's my favorite one ever.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm kind of a closet theater geek.
You saw Hamilton?
I did. Yeah. It's top 3.
Yeah. You saw it in Memphis?
I did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's coming back next year. It's on the season ticket for the Orpheum for next year.
Oh, okay.
Also, they're doing The Wiz next year, which I'm interested in, which is like an urban setting for Wizard of Oz. It's coming back for the first time in like decades.
Okay.
Kind of interested in that next year. The Michael Jackson musical is coming to the Orpheum next year. MJ.
Okay.
Yeah. Mamma Mia is coming again in a couple months. So, yeah.
Okay.
You thinking something?
No, I was trying to think of something, but I couldn't think of it.
What are you trying to think?
I'm not even sure. Who's your favorite Wizard of Oz character?
I think the lion. I think he makes me laugh the most for whatever reason. Like in the movie. I mean, but yeah, I mean, if you're just about like, I mean, if you see Wicked like once or twice, your perspective is going to change a little bit on what your favorite character is at that point. But yeah, I mean, I think the lion.
I think the lion's mine too. I think the lion's mine too.
Have you seen Wicked?
I have not seen Wicked.
Okay. They do a lot of Wizard of the Oz callbacks and stuff.
I've seen Phantom of the Opera. I've seen, feels like I've seen Les Mis.
Les Mis is very overrated to me. I get, there's a couple songs in it that I like, but yeah. I get bored by Les Mis. It's not one that.
Yeah. I loved Hamilton, but I'm kind of a history person.
Oh, Hamilton's great.
It was great.
So anyway, yeah, there's that. All right, we'll wrap the show in a minute. We'll come back for the final segment. It's just one of those days. First, a Northeast Spark, two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or the Blaze. The 1 gig option is their fastest option available. Your hometown team bring you world-class broadband. That's anyspark.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service, pro controls, network security, wireless mesh extender for those who need the extra help and more. That's anyspark.com or 662-238-3159.
Oh, boy. We're also brought to you by Southern Traditions Farm. It's a 68-acre, 32-stall, upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi. Two sand rings, a grass ring, miles of wooded trails, a lot offered at Southern Traditions. Horseback riding offerings from beginner lessons, I should say, to advanced to competing on nationally recognized competition stages. They also, it's a great venue for events and such, so get in touch with them on Facebook or Instagram at Southern Traditions Farm. We're also brought to you by Art Hayes, Sotheby's International Realty. Are you thinking of making a move? Put the power of Sotheby's International Realty to work for you. As a licensed agent with Sotheby's and a supporter of all things Ole Miss, Art can help you buy or sell in your hometown or anywhere in the world at no charge to you. Seriously. So call and ask Art how. 612-805-5929 or email him at arthur.hayes@lakesmn.com.
Saw Travis Kelce signed a contract to be the richest tight end in the game, and then Jason Kelce joining Monday Night Countdown.
Saw that too.
So eventful.
I bet Taylor called Travis and said, hey, that's nice.
Think so?
I make that every day.
I mean, just one little.
I'd do a show and make that. I wonder what she makes per show. What her cut of every concert is.
Capital UK, CapitalFM.com. I have no idea if it's validity. No clue.
Okay.
It says she makes $13.6 million per three-hour show. Good to be Taylor.
I bet she says, hey, Travis, NFL game is about 3 hours, right? How much do you make per game?
Forbes reports that each stop on the Eras Tour, she personally is earning between 10 and 13 million. Wow.
Yeah.
$1,260 a second she's on stage. If you'd like to do the math on that.
I love when people are like, she's so mid. I'm like, oh, stop.
She gives a lot of bonuses, but her band makes $200,000 to $300,000 annually.
I mean,
I get that's probably really good in what they do, but that also feels really low considering the overall output here.
I guess, but they're not there to see the band.
I mean, I get it, and plenty of people would go, hey, sign me up.
Yeah.
But
I wonder if that's a good launching pad. You're a good
to make a difference?
I don't know. If you're a guitarist or whatnot for her, does that help you land somewhere else?
Okay, that's a gross. She nets about $4.5 million after expenses. Her concert.
Still pretty good.
It's all right. I mean, yeah.
Travis,
not spitting water on it.
Travis is not netting $4.5 million per game after taxes.
Yeah, that's cute. Good for you. Yeah, she's in that category. I mean, it's like you want to completely like emasculate somebody. This is years and years and years ago, and I'll leave all names out of it. I was at a party, and Neil probably has heard this. That was where I'm going. I was at a party, and it was a husband and wife talking. There's a bunch of us like standing around or whatever, and wife does really well. She's executive for a company, and I don't know how we got on salaries or money or whatnot, but made some comment about the guy marrying up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't even trying to be as condescending as it came across, was just sort of talking. But she goes, yeah, so-and-so, you know, what we do is we take his salary and we just take a nice vacation every year. And I was like, oh, God. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like,
just cut him off. You
just cut him off. Right there.
There's nothing left. All gone.
I kind of looked around like, ooh, oh.
Did you ever hear that story about when Jackie Sherrill brought out the bull and castrated it right there on the practice field? Yeah. That's what you just did. Same thing.
You don't recover for that one.
No.
It's
don't live that one down. He shrunk right there. Just nothing left.
So, I'll find the link and put it somewhere. Pretty good story on Caitlin Clark and her shoe deal. Sonny Vaccaro was piping in on what he thought about it. Did you see this morning?
I've not read it, but I've been listening to some things about this.
Okay.
I find it to be quite fascinating.
I find Vaccaro interesting, so yes. I'm typically in on whatever he's talking about. But he was saying that he was shocked that basically once the price got up and anywhere near the number that she got, everybody but Nike just pulled out and said they wouldn't pay it. So she's a test case here for who was right in this. And then he thought that her representation did a very poor job, that she could have gotten more, could have gotten an MJ-type treatment with kind of a little of everything in this,
yeah.
But that she ended up taking a more basic deal that he thought was not advantageous to her where she's standing right now. And look, I am fascinated to see how much it sells and what this thing looks like if she moves into the next level, because I don't know. I don't have a real opinion.
I've listened to some people talk about this. And they talk about her being the first female athlete in, frankly, maybe ever, who transcends the sex barrier, the gender barrier.
Yeah, sure.
That men are going to wear her stuff.
And maybe.
And maybe so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not a sneaker guy, so I'm a bad person to ask.
I am too.
So I don't know. But 20-somethings, teenagers?
She has a great Q rating.
Across demographics.
Across demographics. People really like her.
In some ways, men like her more than women do.
Yeah.
For the appropriate reasons. Like, just straight.
Well, there were some photos of her that came out the other day with her boyfriend, mm-hmm. who is the Iowa coach's son, by the way.
Oh, really?
The men's coach.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
He works for the Indiana Pacers. He's not a player, but he works in the organization.
Okay.
And
I didn't know that.
I mean, she was, you know, I'm trying not to be misogynistic here because I think you know me. I'm not that guy. I mean, she was very attractive.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, when she plays basketball, she's not all made up or whatnot. She's not dressed for going out on the town. She's dressed to play basketball. But she's attractive, and people like her, and yet she's not so attractive that she's threatening.
And she's good.
I mean, Libby Dunn, men like Libby Dunn because she's very attractive.
Yeah.
A lot of women don't like her because she's really attractive.
And social media hypes up Dunn and basically overplays her actual accomplishments athletically. It's like, I mean, I think it was the ESPN or the Sports Center Instagram page the other day that did like this, oh wow, Libby, like, because LSU gymnastics won a national title and was like power couple, and it was like Paul Skeens and Libby Dunn. It's like Libby Dunn didn't even play in the final.
Yeah.
Paul Skeens is doing quite well for himself right now in baseball.
He's gonna be in the big soon.
Yeah, he could pitch in the big leagues.
You know, another topic entirely.
What's that?
We'll kill it after this. But major league teams are now going, do we really want to let these guys fire all their bullets in AAA? If surgery is inevitable,
go ahead and get them up let's get going.
Hey, let's pitch.
It's fair.
Supposedly, the Cubs are having this conversation internally about Cade Horton.
Oh, really?
Like, hey, he's getting guys out. Is he ready for the major leagues? Probably not. Are we wasting a bunch of his bullets getting him ready? probably.
If you read one story today, I do kind of want to talk about the silliness of baseball. Noah and I both like it. All the Bull Durham type stuff is the Minnesota Twins and their lucky sausage that they're carrying around everywhere. So give it a read. At some point, I'll get there tomorrow.
Did you see Rocco Baldelli's?
I did. Yeah. Just give it a read. It's worth it. It's hilarious. Yeah. Cliff notes they were 7-13 with a 610 OPS. Since the sausage entered the dugout, they're 7-0 OPSing 1.008 at this point.
They brought the sausage into the dugout, and five of the next 16 hitters hit home runs. And major baseball players are the weirdest people on the face of the planet. They are. They're bizarre.
They are.
Because the game is so full of failure.
And so long with so much time off.
Yeah.
They're just.
And so someone goes, well, you know, since the sausage has been in here, and all of a sudden the sausage is untouchable and they're carrying it around with them and it's traveling across the country and people are concerned about just the
health hazard of health such.
Yeah.
It's staying in the casing.
Yeah.
So far. And so far.
Baldelli's like, I'm really worried about when it breaks.
Yeah. So
just like, well, we'll get rid of it at that point. People are like, well, not if we're winning, you're not.
We'll keep that bad boy.
Because if you think you're hitting home runs because of a sausage in the dugout, you are.
Yeah.
And the mental part of, well, it's not here anymore. Okay, well then.
I'm sunk.
I mean, no joke.
Yeah, I know.
That is such a fragile mental sport.
It's one of the reasons why Florida baseball is struggling is O'Sullivan has no psychiatrist in him at all.
Yeah.
He's always the best players and they just make it work. When you start going down and needing that mental, he's not the guy to bring you back.
There was I think it was Francisco Lindor. We'll stop with this, I promise. I find this fascinating. It's one of the sports that we probably don't talk about enough is just the physics of baseball, how it's changed. But this, I can't remember who the pitcher was. I want to say the hitter was Francisco Lindor.
Okay.
And he's a major league hitter. Mm-hmm. He's really good. He looked absolutely like the kid who hit last on your pitch coach team, who had no chance to hit it unless the coach threw it at the bat. He looked like that. And after the game was like, hey, some of the media people were like, are you worried about your swing? He goes, no, my swing's there. And the next day he hit two home runs. But he was like, I can't hit that.
Yeah.
It looks like this, and then it does this, and
it looks exactly like the thing that does this.
I only have 0.4 seconds to register all this. And it's like, well, how do you not let that bother you? And he's like, you have no choice but to forget it. I mean, the mental, that's what I would love to talk to major league players about that. Just the 0-for-17 streak where you punch out 12 times.
Mm-hmm. And you think you're never going to hit the baseball?
Do you go back to the hotel room in some strange city and stare at the ceiling and think, I'm done? It's over? Or do you go, no, it's going to be okay. I'm just facing electric stuff right now.
Yeah.
And I guess you have no choice but to think I'm still a stud. I'm
going
to try.
If you start going the other way, you're completely done. It's impossible.
Well, and you've seen that happen, though.
Yeah. It gets really impossible.
Guys get the yips at the plate.
I was at college level all the time too. So anyway,
of course,
Twin story. We'll hit that tomorrow. I'm sure more stuff will come out. And Ole Miss and State play baseball tomorrow night. Who knew? So that is when that is. Bulldogs and Rebels from Trustmark Park there in Pearl for the Governor's Cup. If you have any illusions of Ole Miss making it to 13, they need tomorrow too. So
okay,
it does matter in that way. So again, we'll be back with you tomorrow. RebelGrove.com. In the meantime, take care.
Peace. Talk to you then.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers,
the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.